Okay, good afternoon. What time is it? It is 12:35, almost on the dot. You're listening to Campus Connection, our call-in show with members of the Petersburg School District. My name is Taylor Heckert, and joining us today in Studio One, we have Superintendent Robin Taylor.
Good afternoon.
And then we have Shannon Baird, the district's Director of Finance.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, welcome to you both. Thank you for being here. Let's make sure you got all the... Yes, I have all the right mics. Perfect. If you're listening and you have a question, you're always welcome to call into our station. That's 907-772-3808. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening. It's budget season, Shannon.
Yes, it is. And we started our budget process earlier this year, but things are always shifting, so it's still a lot of work this time of year. We put out a pro forma budget, you know, kind of status quo, same level of staffing and programming in a budget simulation to the public. And that is still open for feedback. You know, it's called the Balancing Act, and our like rough draft from February was built into there so that people could play around with balancing the budget and get also, you know, it's a great educational tool. And now at this point, we certainly know more things than we did 2 months ago. You know, we've hired some of the positions that people have put in notice for, and we now know how much health insurance is going up. And, you know, so some things are firming up, and that's adjusting things. And then we also have made some decisions. You know, compared to that pro forma budget, our first draft budget doesn't have hardly any curriculum adoption
materials
budget, and that's because not that we want to not continue to, you know, I mean, they're going to continue to look at curriculum material. Robin, do you want to talk about that?
So as we reflected on the administrative regulation that talks about when we go through our curriculum cycle, we have language in there that really allows us to be even more thorough and use this as a two-year process. So the first year is where Mr. King, who leads the curriculum reviews, he and his team that year can focus on looking at the state standards and national standards and what we've already said we're doing standard-wise, and they'll update that document that particular year, reaching out to vendors for materials that support the work, and then be able to use some of those sample materials integrating into their lessons throughout the next year to really make an informed decision as to what materials we would like to recommend, if any, for an update for purchase. So next year, we'll be looking at our language arts curriculum. And so, again, he'll bring his team in. It's usually about four teachers, and they spent throughout the course of the year reviewing all the standards, K-12, associated with language arts, and provide the updates where needed. At the same time, reaching out to vendors, if there's potential vendors they're aware of that offer that those curricular materials, we get the materials in, and then teachers who are interested in doing some piloting throughout the year can pilot and say this actually would work very well, or maybe not at all when we thought it was going to be great. And again, that would allow an informed decision moving into the following year. So it'll be going on a two-year cycle.
So we're taking a year off from purchasing, but we're continuing our normal review cycle. We're just lengthening it. And I think they used to do a two-year, and at some point the district got away from that, so we're just moving back towards that.
Okay, so a longer timeline.
Yeah, just a more thorough processing time to update the curriculum and to vet materials.
Two-step.
And curriculum can be pretty expensive, right?
Extremely, yes.
Big cost.
Yes, so it's really important that we make it a very informed decision when we're purchasing items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and removing that from next year's budget, all except a little bit in case we have to pay for some samples. Usually, hopefully they're free, but sometimes we do have to pay for some. So that's $75,000 savings. So, you know, that's helpful in our draft budget, of course, getting towards a closer to a balanced budget. We also were able to reduce our tech supplies budget because we're moving away from MacBooks and going towards the new Neo. Our tech director had purchased one a month or two ago and had been testing it out. He wanted to make sure before he went that direction that that was going to work for our systems and what our students need, right? rather than order them and then be like, ooh, whoops. So that's a great savings. Mm-hmm.
And health insurance was not near what we thought it would be.
Yeah, we were budgeting, you know, an estimated 8% increase, and it's only going up 2.5%.
Oh, wow.
So that is huge, and that's definitely not the norm for, we know, a lot of other people. We're fortunate that we're part of an education health trust, an insurance pool with other school districts in the state, and they're changing up kind of how they treat, like, network or in-network, and it's saving them administrative costs, the pool, and so they're able to really save all the districts and our employees a lot of money that way. So we're grateful about that, because that's a huge part of our budget, is staff and their benefits, certainly. We did have to, from that first performa budget, we did add a little bit of staff. We need more paraprofessionals to meet the needs of the students that we currently have. We have some pretty high needs, and the administrative staff had some very in-depth conversation about what was the right level, what was really needed, and so we are increasing a couple of paraprofessional positions. So there's definitely movement from that February performa budget, but a lot of it is status quo from previous years as far as programming and positions. And we'll be presenting it in full tonight. In its first draft, it does have a deficit of $343,000. And that is with us including $3.45 million in local funding from the borough, but they have only built into their first draft budget $3.25 million. That is a difference of $200,000. So we could be facing a larger deficit than that. But on the flip side, we could receive more in state funding. We have built into this first draft budget, and we always like to budget on what's in statute at the state for the BSA, the base student allocation. But there has been momentum at the legislature again this year, and we are hopeful that we will get one-time funding at this point. We were hoping it would be in statute increase to the BSA again, but at this point it looks like it'll be one-time funding. We don't know what that level will be yet. But what is built into the operating budget that's moving from the House to the Senate at the state is a one-time funding that would come out to an equivalent of about 397 BSA increase in funding, just one time, but that's certainly helpful. That would, based on our student numbers for next year, that would be about $490,000 in additional state funding. So if we only received 3.25 from the borough, but received that one-time funding level from the state, we would be fine. We would only be sitting at about $53,000 deficit. And that's something I'm extremely comfortable with. I'd be comfortable with a little larger deficit than that, even in our budget, just knowing sometimes we have some vacancies or things that we weren't able to spend. So we'll see how it shakes out. I don't know how that operating budget will change now that it's at the Senate. We're hoping that we do end up with some one-time funding from the state, though.
Yep.
Okay. And, well, I'm also curious when it comes to funding. I saw in the Assembly's budget that they got Secure Rural Schools funding. And what, about $600,000 of that would go toward the district? I've got numbers here. How does that impact our budget? I have no clue how Secure Rural Schools funding filters through and gets to you guys. How does that work?
So the borough has a fund that they put the SRS funds into. And one designated for the school, which is most of the SRS funds that they receive. They're allowed to spend a little bit on roads.
Correct.
But most of it is going into the school SRS fund. And, you know, they have a healthy fund balance on that right now, but they are spending more out of it per year than they've been getting in revenue, right? Spending more out of it, meaning taking from it to fund the school for our, you know, operating budget that they're funding, that $3.25 million ask or funding. So right now it looks like they'll be ending this fiscal year 26, with a fund balance in that fund of about $2.37 million. And then based off their budget for next year, it looks like they would have SRS funding of $510,000, and then investment income in that fund of about $50,000. And then, so that's $560,000 total in revenue into that fund, but they're going to be spending $650,000 to fund us to that $3.25 million. So they are using more than they're getting still. And next year, right, is the last year, because it got extended for 3 years, but that is the last funding of SRS that they have secured, right? We don't know that anymore will be coming, and I don't think they think it will be. So that fund balance will be going down. They're trying to, the borough is trying to step down how much they use out of there each year so that they can kind of stretch out the use of it as they try to generate other revenue or find other cost savings or, you know, so that they can continue to fund us at near the cap and at a more adequate level. But, you know, if they really relied on this too heavily, then they're, it's going to be gone, and then you're sitting in a bigger problem and sitting in it sooner. So they're being really strategic about that. But yeah, stepping down this year, they're using $770,000, stepping down next year to $650,000. So Jody's got a plan of slowing down the use of it to stretch it out.
So this then goes into a pool that the borough has to help fund you guys.
Yeah, a fund. Yeah, a fund. It's a designated fund, right? Separate from their general operating fund. It's designated for those, the school SRS funds.
So this money isn't immediately going to come straight to you guys on top of what the borough already gives you, because the borough is already giving you money to the cap, right?
Close to the cap.
Close to the cap. Yes, very near the cap. So no real change in how you're choosing how to budget this year then, just because the Secure Rural Schools funding came in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it gives us a little bit of peace of mind, and I think the borough some peace of mind, right, that they'll be able to fund us near the cap in the near future, but right, this isn't going to last forever, and they do, they're trying to slow down the use of it, so.
Okay, and Shannon, you talked about this a little bit. You had the Balancing Act budgeting tool. I'm so curious, did people use it?
Yeah, we talked at the budget committee a couple weeks ago. There was a lot of activity on the site. You know, I get an analytics report from the site as to like how many people were on there, how many were return people getting on, you know, how many were return visits to the site. And then people can actually submit, but even if they're just on there, I'm getting some analytics, which is helpful. So like average time on the site was about 6 minutes for what, like 300. I'll talk on that tonight, but sorry, I don't have that in front of me. So that's a lot of page views, and that's promising and helpful information because it's like, okay, people were on there and engaging with it if the average is 6 minutes. You know, that makes me think they're hopefully learning something so that they can give more informed feedback and have informed discussions in the community and be a part of the process. But we only did get 12 submissions, excuse me. So, and I haven't been on there since the budget committee meeting on the 15th. So there might have been more, and we're going to keep it open at least through the end of April, right? Because we're now talking about a first draft of the budget. If people want to hop on there and give some feedback, it is still, I'm not updating the draft that's in the Balancing Act. So it is a little, it's different than this first draft of our budget, but it's still a great way for people to engage and give feedback if they like.
Yeah, wow. Only 12 submissions is a little sad.
Well, you have to balance the budget in order to submit. So
so maybe folks are struggling to get a balance.
And for economy of scale, I believe, Shannon, you were sharing with me the numbers that Juno had shared of their submissions.
Juno only got 40-something submissions. So, and they were happy with their, they were also looking at like, okay, but how many people were on the site and how long were they on there, you know? That engagement is still important and valuable. It's a great educational tool. It's still a way to engage people, even if they're not making a full submitted balanced budget. So we still think it was certainly worth it. And, you know, it is the first year that we used it. So we'll see. And we did get some feedback. Some of the, you know, people can leave comments, and some of the feedback, you know, talked about the way that I built the simulation as far as like what people were able to change and how much. So, you know, maybe next year I can make a better simulation that people would like to engage with even more.
Yeah. Do you think it impacted at all seeing the priorities of the people who did submit, how you built your budget? Or were those numbers a little low to do that?
Yeah, it's hard when you only have a data set of 12 submissions. Yeah. We don't think that's like a great representation. But we also weren't surprised by the submissions. They were varying. You know, it wasn't all one way. So, you know, varying opinions, varying probably roles in the community, and varying education levels around the borough budget and our budget. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it swayed things too much just because our budget isn't a little bit too hard, too hard to balance this year, hopefully with the state funding coming through. And then also it's just such a small data set and really varying opinions, and the comments are really what, was best for me out of it.
That makes total sense. Yeah. Okay, well, if you're listening and you're like, whoa, I want this budget discussion in even more depth, I'm sure we will hear all about it tonight at the school board meeting. Before I move on to Robin, Shannon, is there anything we missed that's super important for folks to know when it comes to the budgeting process?
You know, I guess there's only so much in our control, right? We're not able to raise revenue, and so maybe some folks don't realize that, but it's really, we're relying on the state and the borough. The state is about 2/3 of revenue and the borough is about 1/3. And then we have some other very small pieces of the pie. And, you know, municipalities and state are in a bit of a struggle of like this cost sharing and where the burden, you know, who should have how much of the burden. And the state, obviously, it does not have enough revenue for its obligations, and our borough is also struggling. So people should, you know, if absolutely come engage with our budget at our school board meeting. You can join the budget committee. You know, we're happy to answer questions. We certainly want people to be informed and engage with our budget process. But our budget process very much relies on the borough and the state. So, you know, talk to your legislatures, listen to those assembly meetings, and that's really a lot of what is affecting what we're able to do at the school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. Robin, in our last 10 minutes that we have, I know you have all sorts of district updates for me.
Yeah. I'll start with, we have officially, we can say we have an official substantial completion on the roof.
That's a lot of words.
Yes. We've had, our folks have gone up and done a full inspection and reported back to LCG, the contractor that's helping with the management, and David from CERC. And there's still a few things that they have to repair. One is that we still have one leak that we're trying to track down. And so, so figuring that out, but we have hit the official substantial completion notification on the roof. It's been a long time coming, and you know, so we're closing the door on one project, and then we've got the campus security upgrades that will be occurring this summer. I know that our contractors have been behind the scenes communicating with Aaron and John, because there will be a lot of electrical and technology related with this campus security upgrade, since it's the electronification of the doors with a FOB system. So that will be happening this summer, as we have all sorts of activity around the district. I do want to say, before I talk about the staff that we have coming in, we definitely are loving this beautiful weather. I've got to walk to work the last couple of days and have enjoyed that. But sometimes with warm weather, we're noticing that people enjoy moving a little more quickly in their vehicles. So I'd just like to just kind of do a shout out to the community of, please be aware, not just directly in front of or adjacent to the school, but even the side streets, you know, we are in school zones, and we do have a lot of kids just loving the weather and being outside and running around on bikes, but also just encouraging vehicles to remember that they are in school zones, and we'd like to have them slow down and keep our kids safe and themselves safe.
Yeah, drive slow and watch out for kids. Please. Is always important.
Yes. And, you know, when we do have rain, sometimes if you're speeding, that can give a pretty good splashing puddle if somebody's out walking. And so I've had that happen to me before as a as an individual. Not necessarily in this community, but I have had that happen to me.
Oh, the guilt is immense when that happens.
Yes. Yes. So just want to encourage folks, just remember you are in a school zone around here and to please slow down. But we have filled 5 of our 6 teaching positions that are vacant for next year. So we're very excited about the staff we've got coming in from as far away as Texas. One of our staff members coming is currently living in Costa Rica this year with her folks. And then we've got some who are in Alaska right now. But we've got them coming from all over. Rebecca Shatwell will be coming from Texas. She'll be at the secondary building helping with credit recovery, some math classes. Then we have Amanda McAvoy. She's coming from Dillingham. She'll be stepping into Jill Lenhardt's role as Jill shifts over to the elementary school and the library. So Amanda will be taking on the English language arts portion of middle school. And I believe Mr. King told me she might even be doing a speech and debate class next year. We'll see how the final schedule shakes out, but it looks like she might have a high school class. And then we still have one vacant position at the middle and high school, and that's that PE health position. But we do have some applicants we're looking at and lining out some more interviews, so we'll see what happens there. Then in the elementary, we have Rose Villazor, who is currently a paraprofessional for us. She is going to be moving into the second grade position. And we have Diane Rodriguez. She is our individual from Costa Rica, but she has Alaska experience, and she'll be moving into that third grade position. And then Seth Johnson, coming from Oregon, will be shifting into special education. So we're feeling good about our teachers. Again, just one position left to fill. We do right now have posted for a full-time custodial and a full-time maintenance position. We were happy for them, sad for us, that Carla and Juan, who are just loved in this community, have let us know that they won't be returning next year. So we have those positions currently posted right now. If there are listeners who are interested in looking at those positions, please get online to pcsd.us, and you can click on the links there. That'll take you to the job board to apply. And we do anticipate having quite a few classified positions, which those are our support staff that assist throughout the building, whether in special education, maybe in PE, recess, lunchroom, or even in an office area setting. But we do anticipate a number of those positions coming up and being posted likely in mid to late June.
Okay. Something to keep an eye out then. And congratulations to those 5 teachers. That's very exciting.
Yes, I think they're excited and we're excited, and it's a nice peace of mind to know that, especially for a rural district, that we have filled as much as we have. That's kind of uncommon nowadays, but I think, and it's fortunate for us, but unfortunate in the state. A lot of the bigger districts are just kind of holding to see if they're going to have to do reduction in forces based on how the state funding comes through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Anything else, the updates that we have in our last few minutes, Robin, that's important for folks to know with the district?
You know, we're just looking forward to this spring being here, and we've got graduation coming up sooner than people think. I don't have it on the top of my head. I want to say May 27th, but I could be wrong, so please don't write that down, community.
Well, that's still very exciting. Graduation is always so fun. I'm excited for our seniors.
Yes, they have been a great group to watch, for me to watch grow the last 2 years. I know for others who have seen it, the livelihood from birth to grade 12, but they're a dynamic group.
Perfect. Well, I think that is the perfect note to end today on.